Hey, leaders and visionaries. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm thrilled to be your guide as we dig into conscious leadership and personal growth. Our mission is simple: help you reconnect with your authentic self, untamed from who others taught you to be, and unleash the leader within. So whether you're a leader looking to deepen your impact or an individual yearning for greater fulfillment and joy, the Untamed Mind is your mentor on the path to becoming your true self. Hello, dear listener. On this episode of The Untamed Mind, I am going to discuss a often talked about, but rarely sort of deconstructed wellness practice, and that is journaling. And this comes from a listener question in part because first it's, you know, there's so much talk about journaling as a way to get out from your head the things that are kind of swirling around, the things that you need to process. It helps to manage anxiety, reduce stress, cope with depression. It has all these scientific benefits to journaling, and whether that's prompt-based, whether that's free form, whether that's the often Oprah-cited method of just jotting down a few items that you're grateful for. So there's a lot of talk about journaling, and yet there's a lot that is unstated in the conversation about journaling. And I think it is such a rich question around what do you do with your journals? So if something should happen to you in the future, you know, our time on earth, all of us, it is finite, meaning it will come to an end at some point. And a piece of putting down on paper all of our deepest, you know, innermost thoughts is what happens to our journals and what do we want to happen with our journals? And is the fact that family members will have access to your journals and those deep, dark thoughts, but not be able to process them with you should some, you know, when something happens to you, when you move on, does that mean that you burn your journals? Do you trash your journals? And do you ever look at your journals again? And so there's all these really great questions around journaling that are much more impactful, I think, than just strictly talking about what is journaling. But my goal here on The Untamed Mind is to tackle with all the nuances of any wellness practice. In future episodes, bringing on guests to talk about their wellness and well-being practices and really looking at all the angles of a practice, the good, bad, and it doesn't even need those labels, but really, you know, all the aspects of a wellness practice and to enable you to better decide, you know, is this something that I want? Or maybe you haven't, you know, with the case of journaling, for example, considered what do you do with your journals? And are they something that you want others to be able to access at a future point? So let's start with the basics about journaling here before we get into all the other items. So if you are like most young children, you may have had a diary. I don't know that that necessarily resonates as much with men. And I wonder if that's more of a generational thing or if, because at least in my millennial life, you know, the Babysitter's Club or Full House or I'm trying to think of some of the other shows where I remember seeing diaries, right? The locked diary. And usually it was a sibling who gained access to the locked diary. And I vaguely remember if my sister, who's 4 years younger than me, listens to the podcast, that she may have gotten into my diary at some point and read about my crush, Jack. And that was a big issue. I'm vaguely recalling something to that effect, but maybe I'm making it up just from all the episodes that I saw where that was reflected. A sibling got into that journal or that diary, I should say. So in our youth, we use a diary, especially to process maybe conflict that's coming up with our parents as we're going through puberty, using it to document the feelings that feel unfamiliar to us. We aren't comfortable talking about them with our parents. And maybe it's not even something that we felt comfortable discussing with our friends. And so the diary becomes a source, kind of like an advanced form of an imaginary friend, because it's a space to write down anything that comes up in our youth that we just don't know what to do with and really get all of those feelings out that we know that we might otherwise be shut down from even experiencing, whether that's lust or love or anger or hatred or, you know, any of those teenage year emotions that may come up, the diary is really that helpful friend. If you were like me, my use of a diary was very intermittent. I remember making commitments to myself that sounded like, I'm going to write in my diary every day and really use it to document what I'm feeling and experiencing. I'd do that maybe 2-3 days in a row. And then sure enough, you know, I wouldn't do that any longer. I recall in my younger days, the longest stretch of a diary that I had was, I believe, when I studied abroad, and I used it more of a travel journal. And so that's the first recollection I have where my documenting my days sort of pivoted from the angstiness of my teenage years and instead moved into more of the actual journaling, kind of documenting what am I experiencing each day? What does this look like? So that I would have it for reference. And as technology improved, you know, I think and as I got to be later, journaling definitely wasn't something in my early stages of my career, something that I relied on at all as a wellness practice. Didn't even pay it any mind in the past, really, you know, I'd say 12 years. And it only has been in the past 5 years as I experienced some mental health challenges and also just wanted a way to reconnect with myself and with my own thoughts, to give them a little bit of space in an otherwise packed 24 hours, to say, how am I feeling? What's coming up for me right now? What am I grateful for? What did I take personally today? And can I release, you know, and really processing through on paper has helped me in a variety of situations, on the very, very best days to mark the moment, and on those very, very low days to help me not sit in my swirling thoughts and get it out onto paper. As I kind of reflect on how I use journaling now, I'll just share, you know, my way of doing it and recognizing there's so many other ways that people use journaling. I think sometimes it's maybe prescribed almost by mental health providers, therapists, and the like, maybe even coaches, as a way to think through goals, think through, you know, what's coming up. Rage on the page is something that I'm a huge believer of. When I feel really angry about something, you know, want to tell somebody off or want to take action, I rely as a first step to get that down on paper. In the workplace, that can even look like writing an email, making sure there's nobody in the sense or in the to, you know, but get that email out, write that email as though you're going to send it and then delete it. And that's really another form of journaling. It's just using technology to journal. So my journal practice in current state looks like it's not a daily thing. I think that there is a lot of beauty in people who love routines and maybe have an every morning practice or an every evening practice. And that's just not me. I find the way that I structure my days is a little more fluid, a little more flowy, a little more, what do I need in this moment? And my true self-care, we're not talking about like the hair and nails style of self-care. That's not the self-care I ascribe to, but my evening practice draws on, you know, any number of wellness practices that work for me. Some nights that looks like journaling and breath work. Some nights that looks like taking a bath and meditating. Some nights when I am dealing with a lot of emotions, it looks like doing all the things. So journaling is just not a practice that is an everyday activity for me. I find sort of two methods when I do journal work for me. One, I really love to follow the moon cycles. And so there is a full moon and there is a new moon every month. And that is a prompt for me to think about in new moon, what do I want to manifest? What do I want to call in? What is the energy I'm drawing for the next 2 weeks? And then at the full moon time, I reflect on what are the items that I want to release? What are some stuck or sticky, maybe emotions or just situations, habits, things that are just not serving me? So that's kind of a routine practice I have. So I would call that more guided journaling, where I'm reflecting on specific prompts, and then I am answering those prompts in my journal. The other style of journaling that really works well when I'm dealing with bigger emotions is to just ask myself, you know, what am I experiencing right now? I did this last night, actually. What am I experiencing in this moment? What, being present with my body, what is coming up for me right now? How am I experiencing, you know, the issues that may have arose in a day? Just really trying to be present. And that's the piece that I think is so important about journaling and why it helps us to manage anxiety and reduce stress, is because in a given day, we just don't give ourselves the time to even be present with ourselves and say, hey, what's coming up for me right now? And the, you know, not having a practice of any kind that allows you to be present with the emotions, I find for me, it results in me not being as kind in my relationships with my loved ones. I think some of those big emotions that we have, if we don't get them out in journaling or we don't have a practice to really be present with them, it looks like being short with family members, being snappy, feeling irritated, feeling annoyed. And really, it's all because I haven't connected with myself. I haven't given myself space to say, you know, what's actually at the root of this. And for me, journaling helps me to not direct those feelings that I may be having in a way that is not helpful and is not kind to the people in my life, right? There's that saying, something to the effect of, you know, we are hardest on the people that we love the most, or we, you know, take it out the most on the people we love the most. And for me, journaling really helps me, not always perfect, but it does help me to not do that. So now that we have a little bit of a basis of what journaling is, I think it's important to talk about, once we have pen to paper, you know, what do we do with these journals? And again, this is a listener question, and I just think it is such a great one, because my practice might not be your practice, and maybe you haven't considered what happens to your journals. What do you do with them? And I think that it can be a block, perhaps, if you don't have, you know, if you have really strong feelings that you don't want others to be able to view your journals, you may be using that as a reason for why you're not getting in touch with yourself and being present with the emotions, because you're worried about what someone, how someone might feel when they read your journal, what someone might do with the words that you've written down that were for a moment of time, but that were so deeply personal that you just don't even want to engage in a journaling practice. So for me, I just want to say at the outset, not only do I not think that I do not believe or ascribe to sort of a binary, there is one way to journal and there is one way not to. I think any way that you incorporate a writing practice that is you putting your thoughts on paper is a beautiful practice in whatever way that works for you. And the same goes for however you view your journals. And if you consider that they, you know, are to be destroyed or are something that you desire to hang on to, I think that is both, there's not a good or a bad, and any variety of method that you choose is the right one for you. But I'll share what I've chosen to do is to hang on to my journals. So I have a bright, beautiful tote from Home Goods. And I, for now, have chosen to hang on to these journals going back 5 years. I think some people have a practice. I know somebody that I follow who journals every single day has a practice at least annually to go back through every single journal, which I can only imagine the benefits of, to witness your growth and your transformation and all of the amazing things that you have overcome, and just take that with you. I feel like it's like taking it to the bank if you choose to do that. I have not yet done that, in part, I think, because there, you know, going back many years, there are moments that I think would be very painful to see. And I want to, frankly, just create some distance from those moments before I sort of put myself back in those settings and sort of experience it again through the lens of how I was feeling through those really difficult experiences. But I do think that's the reason why I hang on to the journals, is because I think that they will help me, especially as I'm writing a book, And especially as I'm looking to connect with people who are having a variety of experiences in the workplace and in their personal life, putting myself back in the place to say, oh, hey, I experienced something similar in 2021. And I can go back to that journal and really put myself in those shoes. And for me, that's reason enough for me to hang on to my journals. I think there's also something beautiful about perhaps destroying a journal. And there may be a practice that feels more aligned for you that looks like burning those journals. I can just imagine how satisfying that would be if there was an era, and I'm thinking of a person who maybe went through a massive work rupture, maybe had a divorce, a separation, you know, really experiencing something that is a profound pivot in one direction, from one direction to another, could look like, let's go have a bonfire. Let's burn it to the ground, because that person does not exist anymore. And how satisfying it would be to toss that journal in the fire and say, the time is now. For all intents and purposes, I am moving forward. I am moving on. And I get a clean slate. And so destroying that journal in some way, or, you know, maybe trashing it, it just feels so much more satisfying to think of that bonfire perhaps for you, if that's something that lands and something that feels like what you want to do. There's also this issue or sort of other consideration about who gets access to your journals and what would that look like? And, you know, the one thing that is out of our control, if something were to happen to me, what is out of my control is who would get access to my journals. Even if I make that clear, what I want to happen with my journals, you know, whether my family members choose to kind of obey any instructions that I give them or not is really out of my control. Obviously, if I am not here, I'm not able to dictate what actually happens with them. And I think, you know, when I think about my mother or I think about my grandmother, if they were to have journals and I were to receive those as a totally new opportunity with which to view their life and their experiences and their emotions and to sort of be in a position to walk side by side with them for what they were experiencing, I think there is beauty in that. Now, I have done a lot of work and recognize that every single person is fighting a battle that we know nothing about. I think that's true of our immediate family members more than anyone. I think it's likely that in anyone's journal, there would be things that would be very painful to read, maybe fears, maybe regrets, maybe challenges, emotions, right? And I think each of us, if we were put in that position to receive a journal, would have to use a lot of discernment to see, do I have the space, the capacity, the mental well-being to read that person's journal, recognizing I don't have the opportunity to have a conversation with them in real time and gain better understanding of what they were experiencing in that moment. So I would have to know that there are going to be things that are really tough to see, likely on paper. And yet, this is just my take. I feel I am capable of having that conversation with myself in real time, if I'm ever put in that position to receive a journal or to receive handwritten or typed up sort of documentation of a person's lived experiences. And for me, the reward of getting to know them better, a loved one better, through their own words would be far more enriching for me than the trade-off of the possible pain I may experience of just having to see some of the things that were very difficult for them. And I would hope for my children, you know, many, many decades in the future, if I choose to continue to retain these journals, that they will use the same discernment if and when they're put in a position to receive my journals, that they may have that ability to say for themselves whether they want to go into eras of my life when they were very little, because it will change things for them. You know, thinking about the pandemic, for example, I don't know that I journaled very often during the pandemic, actually, because there was so much anxiety. I don't remember a very active practice. The boys were both home. They were both very little. The kiddos would have been six and three. And so, but how cool would it be if they're able and feel equipped to read the journals, whatever they may be from that time, and sort of experience pandemic, not from their experience, which was, in on one hand, mom and dad are fully available to me. I am doing homeschool. We are learning about the biomes of ponds, and we get to go to the park every day. That might be their memory, I think, on one hand. On the other hand, I think that they will have memories of how their own anxieties or fears about illness and sickness and distancing and masking and what that has sort of done to their subconscious, you know, there'll be some of that. But to layer on, you know, any words that I may have written down to further expand and shape, you know, perceptions of what the pandemic life was like in real time as a parent of young children during that time might be something that would be really rewarding for them. But again, that's going to have to be something that they decide for themselves, hopefully when they are adults. And if not, you know, Josh, my husband, and who would be the keeper of the journals until they are at a time, would have to decide whether that's something that he would ever want to share. And the same questions, you know, he'd have to ask himself is, you know, whether my journals would be something that he would feel he would want to dig into should something happen to me. So many great questions, I think, and they're so personal. And journaling is such a personal, private practice that however you choose to view journaling and however you feel works best for you, whether it's that burn it all down, whether it's the trash it, delete it, you know, any which way form that works for you is the right path for you. And I just think it is so helpful to think about some of these considerations with every single wellness practice that you do as you begin to incorporate and integrate better well-being in your life. You know, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for others? And how do I want to, not the way society may tell you is best for you, but how do I want to use this practice for me and what works best for me? It's such an individual consideration for each one of us. And I hope that this episode has just enlighten you to some, you know, deeper thoughts and questions that you can consider for your own practice, while also giving you a little bit more information about a well-being practice that you can use that's really easy, low cost, low to no cost almost, if you choose to do it on paper that you may already have, that really can move the needle for you and just help you to get in touch with yourself, because that's really what the untaming journey is all about, is getting in touch with yourself, getting to know yourself better. And journaling is certainly a tool that maybe is something for you on your path. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and look forward to connecting with you. If you want to go deeper on journaling and have additional thoughts about how you use the journaling practice, I would love to hear from you. It would be great to hear what are some of those prompts that you use on a regular basis that you find really effective. And I'd love to share that with all the listeners of The Untamed Mind. Thank you for joining us on the Untamed Mind podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. Remember, the journey to becoming more authentically you looks like a steadfast commitment to your values and to untaming your mind. Stay tuned for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and a roadmap to a more balanced and joyful life. Until then, keep on thriving.